I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Now we pick up on a story we featured yesterday. We looked into plans by some states to expand their early prison release programs and examine the challenges of re-entry into society by former prisoners. Today we've got Judge Lynn Toler. She's going to give us some perspective on what it means to be behind the bench, making the judgments that can send people to jail or prison. She now presides on TV's divorce court, and she's also a regular News and Notes contributor. Judge, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. So it's got to be tough to sit there and be the person who says, I'm going to send you to jail. What kind of issues do you consider when you've had to, you know, levy a sentence?
Well, first of all, you have to take care of the legal stuff. You have to make sure you know what kind of crime this is. There's limits on your discretion. And also, they also have sentencing guidelines these days on the federal level, allowing common pleas or court levels, that requires a consistent sentence to be handed down. And if you deviate from that based upon exacerbating or mitigating circumstances, you have to explain why you did that. So you've got to understand that there are a lot of limits on judges that people don't recognize. But within the context of those limitations, you look at who this person is. You usually have sent him to your probation department. They've talked to him about their background. We got to know about his mental health issues. We've got to know about his addiction. We've got to know about his environment. And based upon those things and his past record and the possibilities, his educational level, what would be the appropriate sentence for him? The problem that we have once we've done that is our options are typically fairly limited: to jail or not to jail, put on probation and have a lot of probation conditions, or put him in jail or prison.
There's now more money going to reentry programs, both from the federal level through a bill that the president's signing into law, and from private levels. But is there enough of an array of treatment and, follow-up programs? I mean, in your time looking at this problem from the bench, have you thought, well, we need more of this or we need more of that in order to really make sure that these young men and women don't come back?
No doubt about it. We need more of everything. What the judiciary has turned into is not a place where your unusual individual goes. It's where systemic social problems end up. So you don't have the wherewithal to deal with what if you have an alcoholic going in, or and that's his main problem, that's why he's abusive, or if you have someone who has a drug addiction going in, or once you get in, they go back out to the same community that created the problem to begin with. You have not addressed a problem. You have just simply delayed it till another date. So clearly, I think the judiciary should be seen as a place of last resort more. We need more tools, but also there need to be tools in place and money put in before the judiciary even gets involved.
Now, you wrote a book, and in it you have some rules that help you navigate through the world. Which of those rules, if any, do you turn to when you have been sentencing people?
I've turned to a couple of them. One is the technical violation rules. Whenever you get to court, you often find that the defendant tries to, and partly because he's just trying to stay out of jail, and I understand that, but mitigate his responsibility and doesn't understand his responsibility. Yes, I hit him, but do you know what he said to me? And that's being technical about it, just saying, well, technically, it's somebody else's fault. It's a need to take responsibility for everything you do. You can get called every name in the book. It does not require you to respond, because once you have, you've handed over your life to a person who sought to hurt you. That's the number one issue that I used to try to get across to my defendants about. They have a sense of lack of control that is erroneous.
Now, how has it felt when you have sentenced someone and that person then shows up again a few wrinkles later, or, you know, a scar or scarring experience later, and you see the same person going through the system more than once?
In the beginning, you think, I failed. And then afterwards, once you see so many people come back, recidivism, I got anxious and started doing other things, started looking at other alternatives and doing alternative programs. And also it made me go to high schools and deal with people before they ever came to the system. But when you see a person come back a second time, you know, you have a different discussion. I usually gave an opportunity the first time, a little bit of jail, a whole lot of probation, a whole lot of conditions, and a warning. If I see you again, I'm not playing with you. You just go as a, you know, an incentive to work with me. But it's frustrating. It's hurtful, especially when you are a black woman like I am and saw so many young 18, 19, 20-year-old black men keep going back, just nickel and diming their way into felonies. It's a frustration about the systemic problems over which you have very little, if any, control.
Have you ever had a point in your life when you said, you know what, I made a mistake. I should have had a lighter sentence, or I should have given a heavier sentence?
Absolutely. All the time. Because I review what I did, and I think every judge should do that. And to the extent that you acknowledge error, you grow and you learn. I hoped that I was a better judge at the end of those 12 years than I was at the beginning, and I always review what I did. I used to discuss my sentences with domestic violence defendants, with the domestic violence organization.
Yeah.
Right, to say, what did you think of that? You know, what is your take on it? Because they used to sit in the courtroom so I can understand how I can best create the resolution that I wanted, which was him to come out or him to stop doing what he was doing. So absolutely all the time, inevitably, and you're not a good judge if you don't.
And just quickly, when you think about the experience that you've had, what's one thing that you would want people to know who are facing a charge, one thing that they can carry into court with them?
Learn. Go there and understand what it is you did wrong. Don't try to blame the system or the victim or whatever, even if it was a deluge of circumstances. Find out what your role is, because that's your life. And until you know your role, you don't control. And until you control, you can't stay away.
That's words to the wise right there. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Judge Lynn Toler is the star of the nationally syndicated TV show Divorce Court. She's also the author of My Mother's Rules, A Practical Guide to Becoming an Emotional Genius, and she joined us from the studios of KJZZ in Tempe, Arizona.